Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now is a man who's got a massive brain.
Mike Florio.
He used to be a lawyer, then he decided to take his talents to the internet.
NBC Sports.
I'm sorry I'm late. I was talking to Robert Kraft.
That isn't the time for an airing of grievances.
Pro Football Talk.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
On Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Oh boy, what a day to talk to Mike Florio. How perfectly this lined up for us. And selfishly, I am happy for myself. He is the creator and editor-in-chief of Pro Football Talk. He is at Pro Football Talk on X and also on Blue Sky. He joins us on the Circa Sports Casino Hotline. Download the Circa app today. And he is on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Mike Florio, we basically did like an hour Mike Florio pregame show where we just went over like mystery team scenarios and all of these interesting possible other head coaching jobs that could open up. And keep in mind here in Chicago that when Craig Counsell became available, we all thought David Ross's job was secure until Jed Hoyer told him it wasn't. And the next thing we know, Craig Counsell is now the manager here. So there's never been a better day to talk to you now that John Harbaugh is available.
Well, and this is one of those where we saw it was possibly coming. We talked about it on Football Night in America in advance of the Ravens-Steelers game from Pittsburgh on Sunday night. But when it happens, it's still a surprise. And it's the kind of move, I had said this for years about Mike Tomlin, because there's a portion of the Steelers fan base, anytime the Steelers would lose two or three games in a row, they begin calling for Tomlin to be fired. And I've said, look, Tomlin, if fired, will immediately land somewhere else. There will be teams that are thinking about firing their coaches who will fire their coaches for a shot at Tomlin. And there will even be teams who are otherwise happy with their coaches that will ponder the possibility of upgrading to Mike Tomlin if he becomes available. And for a lot of the same reasons why it was time for a change in Baltimore, there was talk about maybe it's time for a change in Pittsburgh. There's a lot of reasons to look at Harbaugh the same way we look at Tomlin. I just don't think we ever expected going into a season that Harbaugh was going to be available as he now is. And yeah, at least one team, maybe more than one team that currently has a head coach has made the call and could be plotting an effort to move on from the current coach and then land John Harbaugh.
I want to go straight to what you just said about the Mike Tomlin thing, because we were talking about the, I'm sure you saw it, the meme, like the field goal, if it's good, it's Tomlin being fired. If it's off, which it was, Harbaugh gets fired. That's come to fruition. But it's already feeling like a seismic tidal wave of coaching change is here. But if Tomlin at home were to get blown out by, say, the Texans this weekend, is there a chance that both those coaches could still be available? And that just changes the entire market for a head coach.
I don't think the outcome on Monday night, by way of whether or not it's lopsided, means anything, although that game last month against the Bills was as bad as it could possibly be. I think the reality in Pittsburgh is they're not going to fire him, but, and this first hit me last week, and after you do this long enough, you start to read between the lines when somebody who is a reporter starts saying things that kind of feel like they're saying something, but they can't quite say it. It became clear to me last week, and I firmly believe, based upon things I've heard since then, Tomlin's got a TV offer in his back pocket if he wants it. I don't know that he's going to want it, but based on how this season ends, when this season ends, and how he feels after it ends, he could pull the pin on that and head to one of the networks as an analyst in the studio, as a game analyst. I think he'd be great on games. I think that style of crafting talking points and catchphrases on the fly would be very conducive to the 20 seconds that you have between plays to make comments. But I think that's really the issue there. It's not him being fired. It's Mike Tomlin deciding after 19 years to move on, which if that happens, that makes Zach Taylor, the guy who would have been the first one fired, but for the buyout, because we know the Bengals will never pay a coach to not coach the team. He's going to become the dean of the AFC North coaches if that happens.
Good Lord. And when you consider that his job should also be up for discussion, or might be, there's another part of this. And two-time coach of the year, you know, Kevin Stefanski, we've talked about that too. Like, that's a... If that doesn't tell you that things could change in the NFL, I don't know what does. Although, Mike, I will say this. Mike Tomlin can't walk off after somebody asks him a question he doesn't like once he's doing TV and he's trapped on that set now. You have to answer those questions this time.
Well, that's right. And look, that's part of the shift that we've seen from coaches who will act a certain way in a press conference. And then when they're getting paid to talk, it's very different. The prime example of that is one William Steven Belichick, who has a very different demeanor when he's getting a paycheck to talk than he does when he's getting a paycheck to coach.
Okay, I want to
scoreboard.
I want to ask you about the coaches who are coaching this weekend outside of Tomlin. Listen, it seems like this is now or never for the Bills because there is no Patrick Mahomes, there is no Lamar Jackson, there is no Joe Burrow. Is Sean McDermott on the hot seat, and how desirable of a job would that be if it were to become open? Because I'm looking at like places John Harbaugh could go, not just the openings themselves, but what else could be open after this weekend.
It would be a strange move, though, to replace a coach who has failed to take a generational quarterback to a Super Bowl with a coach who has failed to take a generational quarterback to a Super Bowl. So Harbaugh for McDermott would be, I think, a tough sell. They're opening a new stadium in Buffalo. Owner Terry Pegula is going to have to make the call, but you only have so many years left of Josh Allen's prime. And even though they're a low seed, this is arguably the best chance they have to get to the place they've been trying to go since 1993, the last time the Bills went to a Super Bowl. I think there's a question in Buffalo, and it makes the people in charge very nervous when we start talking about it, because I think they recognize they haven't done enough with Josh Allen. Is it a talent question? Is it a coaching question? And then that sets up the possibility of a half measure where McDermott stays, GM Brandon Bean goes, or Bean stays, McDermott goes. Or, look, I think the right way to run an organization is to have everyone on the same footing, and we're either going to keep everyone or get rid of everyone. But if the Bills' job becomes open with Josh Allen, I think that triggers the same reaction by the candidates as the availability of Harbaugh has triggered by the teams that are looking for coaches. I think that becomes the number one job, no questions asked. If you can go work with Josh Allen and complete the job of building a team around him that turns the Bills into a Super Bowl champion.
We're talking to Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk here on Raheemy Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. Mike is the creator and editor-in-chief, and there's a little bit of breaking baseball news. Mike, I thought the hot stove here was dead. Cubs close to acquiring Edward Cabrera, the right-handed pitcher for the Miami Marlins, that from Ken Rosenthal. But first, Michael Cerami, our friend over at Bleacher Nation. So that news coming across, we will continue to collect more information. But the Cubs need a pitching help, so that's an actual out-getter. Getting back to the matter at hand, Mike, when it comes to the discussion surrounding John Harbaugh, we had seen the report that seven teams had contacted John Harbaugh's agent, Brian Harlan, within 45 minutes or so of him being announced as no longer with the Ravens. But there were seven calls, and there's only seven job openings, which means the Ravens didn't call. So we're trying to figure out who that mystery team was. If you had to guess, who's mystery team?
Well, and it's possible there are more than one mystery teams, because we're assuming that all six of the teams looking for coaches other than the Ravens made a call within the first 45 minutes. It's possible it's more than one. I ran through all the possibilities in an item that I posted an hour and a half ago at PFT. The Buccaneers are the first team that comes to mind because it seems like they're figuring out what to do with Todd Bowles, who went to three straight division championships, but his record's 35-33, and they've seen a revolving door of offensive coordinators who are going on to be successful elsewhere. Now, Harbaugh's not an offensive coordinator or a defensive coordinator. He was a longtime special teams coach, but that was the first team I thought of. Another team that came to mind, because I've been reading the tea leaves as it relates to the team that's coming back to Chicago on Saturday night for a playoff game. When Ed Policy became the president of the Packers, he said that there would be no new contracts for Coach Matt LaFleur or GM Brian Gutekunst before the end of the 2025 season. Both are signed through 2026. Policy also made it clear he's not a fan of lame duck arrangements. So that makes 2025 an up or out year for both guys. And when you consider that the Packers have made it the past 3 years as the seventh seed, if they hadn't expanded the playoffs in 2020, the Packers would be on a four-year run of no playoffs. I can't help but wonder whether or not the current president of the Packers called the son of former Packers president Bob Harlan and said, don't make any decisions until next week. And again, that's all speculation, but Brian Harlan caused the speculation by specifically saying seven teams called. He knew what that meant, and he knew what it was going to do. And I think one of the teams we need to look at is the Green Bay Packers. Also, the Miami Dolphins. Hey, it was in 2011 that Stephen Ross tried to hire Jim Harbaugh while he still had a head coach in Tony Sparano. So why wouldn't the Dolphins call about John Harbaugh at a time when it feels very tenuous about Mike McDaniel in Miami?
Well, and that's the wild card here. We know this well enough here. We've been through this. We've seen the movies.
So many times.
You know, the wild card is ownership. It's that owner who wants a big name or has fallen in love with somebody, and you don't necessarily know how that's going to play out.
That is the biggest challenge when trying to figure out what the owners are going to do. If we will concede that we collectively have a rational mind, it is difficult for those with a rational mind to predict the behaviors of the irrational. And so many of these teams that are bad, they're bad for a reason. The dysfunction flows from the top of the organization. Although, please don't call the Browns dysfunctional. Jimmy Haslam has asked nicely that we no longer call the Browns dysfunctional. But that's the problem.
The other word includes a cuss word. Like, no. It's either dysfunctional or something that starts with an S show.
Yes, but we don't know what these owners are going to want to do. And you're right. It all comes down to what they choose to do. That's how I framed it on Sunday when we talked about Harbaugh's situation. Before that game started, they were just thrilled they had a chance to make it to the playoffs after the year that they had. And if Tyler Loop doesn't miss the field goal, John Harbaugh doesn't get fired last night because they're getting ready for a game next Monday night against the Houston Texans. So Steve Bisciotti had to make the decision. And part of the decision is, and I respect Bisciotti for taking the risk that the Ravens are going to take a step back and Harbaugh is going to land somewhere where he's instantly better. And you're going to get those questions. Why did you fire John Harbaugh? But I think that it was time for a change for both sides. Just for the same reasons that people were saying last month that it may be time for a change for both sides in Pittsburgh. It's a long time, 18 years, 19 years. Harbaugh had 18, Tomlin has 19. It's a long time for one guy to coach a team.
A couple of things. First off, quickly, Ben Johnson, can he effectively end the Matt LaFleur era? Is that what you're saying this weekend? They have a chance to do that?
Yes. And okay. Given the things that Ben Johnson has said about Matt LaFleur, I wonder if he'll feel guilty if he gets Matt LaFleur fired.
No, I don't think that's how that works. We've seen how Ben Johnson operates. And the follow-up is, how in danger is the entire Chicago Bears coaching staff right now with all this going on? Guys like Al Harris, guys like Declan Doyle. I mean, we just saw John Morton get fired in Detroit.
Well, one of the problems with the hiring cycle is whether it's coordinators, whether it's head coaches, you have distractions created when your assistant coaches are on the list to be interviewed by these teams. That creates a major problem. There are coaches who just hate the current system. Some people think that nothing should happen until after the Super Bowl. That's not practical. It fits with the timeline of the NFL. Maybe you have to adjust the timeline. I don't know. But it does create issues, and it's another challenge for a coach of a successful team to have to keep everyone focused on the task at hand when they're naturally going to be thinking about possible promotions elsewhere.
We're talking to Mike Florio, the creator and editor-in-chief of Pro Football Talk, and that's the amazing part about all of this. You know, it's a playoff week here for the first time in years. It's NFL playoffs at their maybe one of the most exciting weeks that I can think of when you consider the level of competition just up and down the seeds. And here we are talking about the teams who aren't necessarily playing. Like, that's what makes this so compelling. You know, what do you think about this coaching cycle now that this is such a game changer? I think it's also just one of those times where it might be a potential sea change moment in the league.
Well, and think about where we were a week ago. We had a pretty good idea that the Raiders and the Browns were going to change coaches. Beyond that, nobody knew. Nobody knew the Cardinals were going to change coaches, even though Michael Bidwell, the owner of the team, had to have known Had to have known. You don't go to bed the night after you finish 3-14 and wake up the next day with a lightning bolt moment that you're going to change your coach. And there's that video that's out there of Bidwell seeking out Jonathan Gannon for this bear hug. In hindsight, it was Michael Corleone and Fredo at New Year's Eve. That's what that was, because he knew damn well what was happening the next day. So we're at 7, almost a fourth of the league, and that's not atypical. That's the way it works in the NFL. Because it's a zero-sum game with 272 games, there's a winner and there's a loser, except for a tie, which happened, what, once this year. There are going to be good teams, there are going to be bad teams, and the bad teams are going to feel pressure to become good teams. You want season ticket renewals, and for a team like the Browns, I think Kevin Stefanski was made to be the scapegoat for the failed Deshaun Watson transaction from 4 years ago. They're going to be selling PSLs to their new stadium. They need the fans to be willing to dig deep into the discretionary income and write the checks. So they've got to do something to at least create the impression they're trying to change. The best part is they can't lose any more games until next September, but they can at least create the impression for now that they're trying to win more games and get people to renew season tickets and buy those PSLs for the stadium they're going to be building in a few years.
At the other end of the spectrum sits the reigning Super Bowl champion Eagles. I'm just curious, because they had a chance to get the 2 seed, did not play their starters. Do you think Nick Sirianni is in any jeopardy with these head coaching, the carousel spinning the way it is right now? I mean, if they were to lose to the 49ers this weekend?
I'd be stunned, because they won the Super Bowl. We went through this exercise in 2023 after they fell apart down the stretch. They were 10-1. They won one regular season game the rest of the way. They were blown out by the Buccaneers in the wild card round. And there's that great shot of Jeffrey Lurie in the luxury suite. And I don't think there's a word to describe the expression on his face. It was a combination of like 4 different things. And it was almost like one of those paintings where if you look at it from a different angle, it gives you a different impression. But remember, we had a couple of days, because the Cowboys got blown out that weekend by the Packers. The Eagles got blown out Monday night by the Bucs. There were a couple of days where we're wondering, are one of these two teams going to make a move for Bill Belichick? The Cowboys ultimately issued a statement that Mike McCarthy's coming back. The Eagles, I think their attitude was, only a dysfunctional team feels compelled to issue a statement saying its coach is coming back. We just went to the Super Bowl. We went to the playoffs. We're not going to make a change. Now, Nick Sirianni had to go in and meet with Jeffrey Lurie and explain how he was going to make it better for 2024, and the plan worked. I just think he has enough equity. When you consider how he started his career with 5 straight playoff appearances, and some of the things he's accomplished are very, very rare, I think that it would be a huge surprise if the Eagles would say, hey, we're going to upgrade to John Harbaugh, although that's where Harbaugh worked before he became the Ravens coach
18 years
ago.
See, and there it is, the jigsaw puzzle that we just can't put the pieces together yet. Mike Florio, this has been a lot of fun, informative, and a good day for rabbit holes, that's for sure. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Mike.
Have a great week.
That's Mike Florio, who also did a cool thing where fireworks showed up on his
He gave us the 2 Twitch. Thumbs up on Twitch, and that creates the fireworks through the Zoom link. Listen.
That was amazing. Yeah, if you're on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score, we started with fireworks with Mike Florio.
Man, this day has been great.
Yeah, and we're just getting started, because apparently the Cubs might have gotten a pitcher, a real one, you know, like who starts and stuff.
Are they going to pay him $22 million for 1 year?
Why are you doing this?
Because I had to be realistic with what's going on. No qualifying offers. I want to know what they're giving up. That's what I want to know.
Cubs are reportedly in hot pursuit of Edward Cabrera, the righty who starts for the Marlins. So we will come back with more coming up next. Bruce Levine is now joining us. He will be with us in our next segment, right? All right. A little breaking news chase here on 670 The Score.